I'm going to speak to you today from the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and look at this scripture with me. Now, I've preached from this passage before. I preached on this subject years ago on this television program. But the reason I'm repeating it is because it's one of my favorite messages. It's one of my favorite subjects. The title of the message, this is the title of the message: The Way Up is Down. The Way Up is Down. Now, here in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 through 14, is the story of a man by the name of Naaman. And most of you are very familiar with it. You see, Naaman was a great warrior. He was a general. He was the leading officer in the Syrian army. And he was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew, he was a Gentile. But God had used this pagan Gentile general to bring deliverance to Syria. God had used this man as an instrument of his power and purpose to accomplish great things for the country of Syria. He was a mighty man. The scripture said he was an honorable man, man of honor, man of valor, a mighty man, but he was a leper. He was a leper. And then it says there was in his household, in the next verse, there was in his household a young woman who was an Israelite. She was Jewish. And she had been captured and brought to that country. And she was a servant in Naaman's household. And she knew about the prophet of God. It doesn't say she knew Elisha, but she knew about Elisha. And she knew her master, Naaman, was a leper. So she told Naaman's wife, she said, "There's a prophet in Israel who could heal my master of his leprosy. If he'd go to the prophet Elisha in Israel, then he'd be made whole." Well, Naaman went to see his own king, the king of Syria, and told him what this girl had said, this young woman had said, that there was a prophet in Israel who could heal him of his leprosy. So the king of Syria sent Naaman down to Israel, sent him with gold and silver and a lot of beautiful clothes and all kind of possessions and treasures. And he took these things and a letter down to the king of Israel, not to the prophet, not to Elisha. But he sent him to the king of Israel, and he came to the king of Israel, and the letter from the king of Syria to the king of Israel said, "I'm sending you my servant Naaman, who's a leper, and I want you to heal him." And the king of Syria rent his clothes. He was beside himself. He said, "This man must be trying to make war with us." He said, "Am I God? Am I God to kill a man or make him alive? I can't cure leprosy. What's behind all this?" Well, the prophet of God, Elisha, knew of what was going on. God revealed to him what was going on. But the scripture said he heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, and he was beside himself and troubled over this situation. So Elisha, the prophet of God, sent word to the king of Israel. He said, "Send Naaman down here to me, and I'll take care of his leprosy. And he'll learn that there's a prophet of God in Israel. You send Naaman to me, and Naaman will learn that there's a prophet of God in Israel." Well, Naaman came to the little house where the prophet Elisha lived. And with his carriages and his chariots and his horsemen and his soldiers and his silver and his gold, his treasures and all of these, in his fine uniform and his medals and all these things. And he stood before the door of the prophet Elisha. He stood. That's what scripture says. He stood before the door. He didn't stoop. He didn't go in. He stood before the door, expecting the prophet of God to cater to him, expecting the prophet of God to oblige him. But Elisha didn't appear. He didn't come out at all. Elisha sent a servant, a slave, out to Naaman, to this great, important, impressive general. And his servant said to the general, "General Naaman, my master said for you to go dip 7 times in the river Jordan, and you'll be clean. And the scripture says Naaman turned in a rage, in a rage. He was so angry, so angry. He turned in a rage, and he said, I thought, surely he had come out to me and put his hand on the place and call on his God, and I'd be clean. And he stomped off. He was going to leave. And one of his simple servants said to him, Master, if the prophet of God had told you some hard thing to do it, would you have done it? If the prophet of God had given you some expensive thing to give, would you have given it? Of course. Then why don't you do the simple thing that he commands? Why don't you go down and wash? Well, here's the text. Then went he down. Then he went down and washed 7 times in the river Jordan. And the scripture said he came up. The way up is down. He went down and he came up. He went down humbled, stripped, broken, submissive. He came up, the scripture said, with flesh, like a little child, cleansed and soft and new. Why is this story in the Bible? 17, 18, 19, 20 verses here committed to Naaman, a Gentile heathen general who was healed of leprosy. Why is this in the Bible? Well, number one, I know it's authentic. I know it is authentic. I know it's genuine. Because my Lord referred to it in Luke 4. When my Lord Jesus Christ went down to Nazareth to preach, when he would define the sovereign mercy of God, when Christ our Lord would define the sovereign mercy of God, he said, now you listen to me, those Sabbath-keeping, legalistic, ceremonial Israelites. He said there were many widows in the land of Israel in the days of the prophet, and God didn't feed any of them. He fed a Gentile. And there were many lepers in the land of Israel in the days of Elisha, and God didn't heal any of them. He healed Naaman, a Gentile. The Lord Jesus Christ used this message right here himself. I'm in good company this morning. So it's authentic. Secondly, I know it's not there to instruct lepers to go to the River Jordan to be healed. I know that. I know that a leper cannot be healed by dipping 7 times in the River Jordan. The River Jordan doesn't have any power to cure leprosy. None whatsoever. Never did. Didn't then and doesn't now. But I know this. Naaman could never have been healed of leprosy if he had not gone into that River Jordan. Now, I know that. I can't explain that. But I do know that river doesn't have the power to cure leprosy. But Naaman couldn't be cured without going in that river. I'm going to show you why this story is in the scripture. It's there to give us a picture and an illustration of how God brings a sinner to himself. He brings us up. He translates us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. He brings us to himself, up to himself. And the way he does it is to strip us and break us and humble us and bring us down first. That's right. Just as the brazen serpent is a picture of Christ crucified, Naaman is a picture of the sinner who looks to Christ. You remember when the brazen serpent was lifted up, Moses said, look and live, and they looked. Well, that brazen serpent is a picture of Christ. And this man, Naaman, is a picture of sinners like you and me who are brought to Christ, brought to look to him, love him, believe him. You see, Naaman belonged to the Lord. even when he was in heathen Syria, even when he was heathenism and paganism and idolatry and false worship, he still belonged to God. Just like Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus wasn't brought to faith till he's 40 years old, but he belonged to God before he's born. That's what the scripture says, God who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace. And Naaman belongs to God. Naaman is an object of God's grace. Naaman is an object of God's mercy. Naaman is an object of God's love. Christ said so. Christ said, Naaman, God sent his mercy to Naaman. He sent his prophet to the widow. But you see, listen to me now. Naaman is an object of God's love, an object of God's grace, an object of God's sovereign mercy. But Naaman himself must learn who God is. He's got to learn that God is God. He must learn his own inability. He must learn his own helplessness. He must be brought to the place where he will willingly give God the glory. Naaman must be brought down. His pride has to be broken. He must give the glory of his deliverance to God. If he buys it, if he purchases it, if he pays for it, he gets the glory. If it's free and by grace and by sovereign mercy, God gets the glory. He's got to be brought to acknowledge that. He must realize he can't buy grace. He must learn that salvation is of the Lord from first to last, Alpha to Omega. It's of the Lord. He's got to learn that. And then he's got to be brought to faith. He's got to be brought where God brought him. Listen to verse 15. After he came up out of that river, he went back to the prophet, and this is what he said. Behold, now I know. I know. There's no God in all the earth but in Israel. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is God. He didn't know that back yonder. He knows it now. You see that? Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. This work must be done. It's the work of conviction. It's a work of convincing men of sin. It's the work of humbling and converting sinners. It's a bringing down. It's a stripping. Man's never been lost, never been found. Man's never been stripped, never been clothed. Man's never been dead, never been raised. Man's never been blind, never had his sight restored. And that's got to take place if this proud general is to know God. And it has to take place in every sinner whom God redeems. Because you see, God resisteth the proud. He gives grace to the humble. God said in Isaiah 45:23, I've sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness. It shall not return. Unto me shall every knee bow. And every tongue shall confess he's Lord. It has to take place. You see, if you miss conviction, you'll miss repentance. And if you miss repentance, you'll miss faith. And if you miss faith, you'll miss Christ. And if you miss Christ, you miss life. And it all goes back to this point of conviction, humbling, breaking. Naaman is an object of grace. He's a choice jewel in the crown of Christ. But Naaman has got to be brought down. Down. See that? All right. Let's look at it carefully, at these verses, and see what we can find out. God dealing with this man Naaman as he deals with us. In the first place, Naaman had many commendable traits. You'll see there in verse 1, it says he was honorable. He was mighty in battle. He was well loved by his king and by the people. God had even delivered Syria by this man's hand and by his cunning work in battle. But he was a leper. All these good things that could be said about him, he's a leper. A leper. He covered it pretty well. He had a uniform on. You couldn't see his skin underneath the uniform. He had this fine, tailor-made, best uniform on. But underneath, there was that old dying skin, that scaly leprosy. And that's a picture of us. You and I, and everybody listening to me, we might have some commendable traits. Some of you are husbands and fathers and sons and good neighbors and good workmen and outstanding citizens. And some of you wives are fine mothers and daughters and kind to your neighbors and so helpful. But you're a sinner. No use denying it. And we cover it pretty well. We cover it with religion. We cover it with morality. We cover it with smiles. We cover it with a whole lot of things. But the Scripture says, there's none good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turn everyone to his own way. Your sins have separated you and God. It's an inward heart disease that's responsible for all our troubles and sorrows and death. Darkness. He was a mighty man, honorable man, but he was a leper. A leper. He had something wrong. Something that was fatal. Something that would eventually destroy him. And there's something wrong with us. Sin is a transgression of God's holy law. And our sins have separated us from God, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death, eternal death. All right, what's the second thing? Naaman wanted to be healed. But he went to the wrong place. He went to the king of Israel. Nothing was said to him about going to the king of Israel. The young woman said, if my master could get to the prophet in Israel, he would be healed. But he didn't go to the prophet. He went to the king. Who is this prophet? If you read Deuteronomy 18, you'll find that this prophet, not Elisha, but Elisha was a picture of that prophet, Christ. Moses said, God will raise up that prophet, the prophet, and him you shall hear. He shall speak my words, God says, and everyone that hears my prophet will be blessed, and those that hear not my prophet, I'll require it of them. Christ is that prophet. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. He hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Naaman went to the wrong place. He didn't go to the prophet. And we today, men are going to the wrong place. Nothing was said to Naaman about going to the king of Israel, the prophet. And nothing is said to us about going to the front of the church or going to the altar or going to Mary or going to the law or going to the baptismal pool or going to the sacraments or going to the preacher. It says, go to Christ. Come unto me, Christ said, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Come unto me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You see how like Naaman we are? He had something wrong, seriously wrong. He knew it, but he went to the wrong place. And thirdly, he wanted to be healed. He not only went to the wrong place, but he took the wrong things with him. He took silver and gold and raiment. My friends, we do the same thing. We can't condemn Naaman when we offer God for redemption our tithes and our times and our talents and our hearts and our morality and our righteousness and our good works. Naaman came to the king of Israel with all of these precious treasures, and he was going to exchange this silver and gold for cleansing. We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot or blemish. Don't go to the wrong place, and don't take with you the wrong things. When I think about this Naaman taking the wrong things, I think about that Pharisee who went to the temple to pray, and he stood and prayed thus with himself, Father, I thank you I'm not like other men. I tithe. I give alms to the poor. I fast twice a week. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not like that publican. And my Lord said he went home condemned. He offered God in exchange for mercy his works. In my hands no price I bring. Naaman brought the wrong things. And then what's this? Finally he got to the right place. He came to the prophet. Finally, he came to the prophet. The king of Israel sent him to the prophet, God's prophet. Finally, he came. But he came with the wrong attitude. It said he stood outside the door. I can imagine that this little house where the prophet of God lived It wasn't very impressive. I imagine it's like a lot of those little houses I see in Mexico with a thatched roof and a curtain over the door, a round house with one room and a dirt floor. And here this proud general standing there with his uniform and his medals and his hat on, you know, and his swagger stick and his scarf around his neck to cover his rotten flesh. And he stood there in his pride. You know, old Naaman wanted to be treated like a great man who happened to be a leper. And all he was, in reality, was a leper who happened to be a great leper. Elisha knew his pride. He knew his arrogance. And he wouldn't come out to meet him. He wouldn't cater to him. He sent his servant out. He knew the man's problem. The man needed to be broken. Mercy is at the feet of Christ. Where that adulterous woman fell and kissed his feet and bathed them with tears and dried them with the hair of her head. Mercy is found at the feet of Christ as a humble sinner falls there. And this proud, arrogant general had to be brought down. And you and I have got to be brought down to the feet of Christ so that he gets all the glory. And there he stood with the wrong attitude. And Elisha sent his servant out there, and Gehazi, the servant, came out and said, my master said for you to go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Now, Naaman got the message, but he had the wrong thoughts. He had the wrong thoughts. I thought. You know, God said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. There's a way that seemeth right unto you. And the end thereof is death. It's not what you think, it's what God says. The way of life is not the way you think it is, it's the way God says it is. I thought he had come to me. Christ said, you come to me. I thought he'd come out and put his hand on the place. That's what all the preachers are doing now, laying their hands on people. People laying their hands on television. My hand has no power. The power is in the blood of Christ, in the grace of God, in the mercy of God, in the righteousness of Christ. I thought he'd lay his hand on me and say some words and call on his God. No, sinner, you're going to call on your God. It's not my God that's going to save you. It's your God. You see what I'm saying? I thought he'd come to me. He doesn't know who I am, does he? Does he know who I am? Does he know who's out here? I thought he'd come out here to me and he'd go through some hocus pocus and lay his hand and call on his God. Oh boy, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Well, he finally did something right. He had something wrong with him. He came to the wrong place and brought the wrong thing and had the wrong attitude and had the wrong thoughts. Finally, he got straightened out. The word of a simple servant. He said, now, my master, if he told you something hard to do, you'd have done it. Why don't you go wash? And that's what I said. Why don't you come to Christ? Why do you go through all this rigmarole of sprinkling infants and bowing and scraping and giving all this money and time and talent and heart and hand and hustling around and zeal and all this sort of thing, organization, religion, all these things, and God holds it in utter contempt? That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. God saves sinners, helpless sinners, stripped sinners, worthless sinners, undeserving sinners, who are in the dust at the feet of Christ, looking to him for mercy, like the thief on the cross. Well, he took off his gold braid, took off his stars, laid down his swagger stick. He wasn't swaggering now. He was a naked leper. And his soldiers, I'm sure, were looking at him like they'd never seen a sight like that before. Decayed, rotten flesh. And there he stood, like he really was. Like he really was. Nothing to cover it. Don't hide your sins. He that hideth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them will find mercy. And he went down in that river, down, low as he could get, muddy, dirty Jordan. But he came up washed. There's power in the blood. There's power to cleanse the guilty. There's power to save the helpless. There's power to redeem the lost. There's power to reach the fellow that's the furthest away. But let me tell you now, God's not selling anything. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. The cattle on 1,000 hills is His, and the silver and gold that hadn't yet been mined is His. He doesn't need you, me, or anything we got. You need Him. But if you come, you'll come like Naaman, stripped, as you really are. Nothing, no veneer, no nothing to hide behind, just an open, dirty, rotten, dying sinner. In the dust, bathing in the blood. And you'll come up clean. You know what this man did? He went right back to the prophet. He went in the house now. And he said, there's no God in all the earth but in Israel. And he said to the Elisha, he said, I want to give you a little something to help your ministry. Elijah said, I don't need anything. I don't need anything. I'm just glad God did something for you. And he turned and went home. There's more to it. I wish I had time to tell you about it. But why don't you get the tape and read the scripture.